Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Echoing the ba da ba ba ba.
And then
I'll. Fuck.
How's your adjustment going there, Joel?
Sorry. I can't hear that, huh? I can't hear it at all. I'm done.
I don't know why we have headphones.
I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
I can't hear any background noise.
How are you doing?
Well,
an auspicious, wonderful start to the podcast.
I didn't realize we started.
Is that going to count?
Yeah, that's going to count. Yeah. There's no do-overs in podcasts.
That was the whole song?
Yeah.
It's
a little jam.
Gus only goes back on his own technical screw-ups.
Hey, Gus.
Unless I forget to hit record, in which case...
Because it sounds pretty static.
The technical problem was you did not hit record.
The technical problem was a lack of a mouse click.
Hey, Gus. It's Jeff.
How's it going, Jeff?
Hey, I got a question for you. Do you remember when you watched My House for me and you had sex in every crevice?
How can I forget?
When was that?
It was like in December.
So like almost a year ago?
Almost a year, about 10 months ago. Exactly.
Griffin and I found, apparently after you did that, we bought you a thank you gift. but we got drunk and spilled wine on it and completely forgot about it until like last week we noticed and we were cleaning up. We got you a $50 gift certificate to a porn store.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And then I have
that
no
is wine on it, right?
It is. Not, like, yeah, no, it's fine.
Nothing
I don't have,
else I should be concerned about.
Currently do not have red semen. So.
Okay.
You know, we should get Jeff a gift of a black light.
There you go. So
I like how incredulous Gus was. You did have sex everywhere in his house.
Yeah. That's for you. It's at the lingerie store right by our house.
Nice. I was kind of hoping it would be that porn store kind of near the new office, but I guess the porn store near the house. Beggars can't be choosers.
That's true.
Well, now, don't most gift certificates have to be used within a certain amount of time? Does that one have
That's entirely possible.
Expiration date on it?
Does not have an expiration date on it. And but it does say, sorry, I spilled wine on your card. I'm going to have a great time explaining this at the porn store. Like, listen, I know this gift certificate looks like it's really stained, but it's wine, I swear.
I would bet they're not going to bat an eyelash when you have that thing. They won't even raise an eyebrow. Hey, Joel.
Yes.
You're a financial guy.
Uh-oh.
So how much money are expired gift cards worth to these companies?
It's funny because they can't count them in their quarters till like... After they've either expired or they've been cashed in.
Well, it's essentially an incurred debt, right?
Right.
It's on their books
right.
as a debt.
But boy, they companies love those gift cards.
Yeah, when they because they
well they get their money up front, and then there's no guarantee that the consumer will get anything for them.
Right, and they book it as a debt, and then all of a sudden they get to put it back on their books as earnings, essentially. Right.
Right.
When,
yeah.
When they no longer owe the debt to the customers. So.
We read a frustrating article a couple years ago at this point, Bernie. That was about Best Buy specifically and how much money they made. Do you remember how much it was?
It was so frustrating.
It was frustrating.
I don't understand. Like,
it was like millions and millions of dollars. A
no,
year
that's Joel. Yeah, I think it was, I want to say one quarter because it was the fourth quarter, maybe when holidays when people give those gift cards a lot. bought, they were, I think it was $60 million, I want to say. I'm pulling that number straight out of my ass, but that's what I remember. $60 million.
I just don't understand if you're running Circuit City, how you let Best Buy undo you. I just don't understand. Like, if you're
a Circuit City. Did you ever go to a Circuit City? Did you ever see the people that work there? No, I think it's pretty obvious that they fucking
did. How hard is it to fix that? Is it that hard?
Have you never had the experience where you walked into Circuit City and as soon as you stepped foot off the path onto the red carpet, there were like nine vultures trying to get you to buy a television and a refrigerator at the same time?
Is like, why don't they look at Best Buy and go, oh, let's just do that?
One time at Circuit City, they convinced me that. It was back when DVD players first came out. They convinced me I should buy an open box DVD player. I would save a ton of money. I was like, fine, I'll buy the fucking open box DVD player. I got it home. There was no power cord in there. So I had to go back and I had to buy a power cord. I had to go back to the same dude at the Circuit City. I was like, you knew there was no power cord in there. He's like, oh, yeah. I figured you had one at home you could use. I was like, what? Really?
Power cord?
Wow.
So that was probably, fuck, that was probably like 10 or 11 years ago. And I don't think I ever bought anything at the Circuit City after that.
God.
I think the big deal at Circuit City was they worked on commission, right?
Yeah, they all worked on commission.
So that's always the thing that leads to upset customers, essentially.
Yeah.
Gavin once told me he worked at a kind of an upscale grocery store.
Waitrose.
Yeah, in the UK. Waitrose. And he said when he was here in America – he was amazed at the customer service levels that you got with people talking to you because they were trained not to speak to customers.
And over in England?
Yeah.
God, let's move there.
Yeah, don't talk to the customers. Don't bother them. Don't ask them how their day is.
Great.
Don't ask them if they need help.
They had specific phrases they couldn't say because they sounded too American.
Yeah, he couldn't say have a nice day.
Have a nice day. It was not British.
He was like, you were telling people what to do and people didn't like that. You were telling them to have a nice day.
Do you guys still, like, it's a very guy thing. Like, when you're in Home Depot and you're, say, looking for a wall anchor and you've walked up the same aisle, like, five or six times, how long does it take you to go and find somebody and ask them to help you?
That's the thing, right? I've noticed that in places where you truly do need the help, you're not getting it.
Well, like I would never ask for help.
At Home Depot? Specifically Home Depot, I won't ask for help.
No way. I don't want to emasculate myself in front of some bored dude who gets paid $10 an hour to be better than me.
Well, I'll tell you what. That is the thing, because a lot of times they don't really know either, and it just turns into a big waste of time. But come on. They've got, like, you go to the wall hangers, and they've got, like, 50 feet of wall hangers.
Dude.
And it's just – I'm
so bad about it that I went to Home Depot a couple months ago, the one by our house, Gus, and I needed some chain because I was like chaining something up. Nothing weird or dungeon.
What were you
doing?
Let's take that gift card back.
I have a fence. I have a fence that doesn't have a lock on it, so I put a chain around it and padlocked it. It was after my house got broken into. And they have this machine that said that cuts the chain. Like, you stick the chain in and you go through a process and you cut it.
Right.
And I was looking at it and I was like, I could probably figure this out. And I looked at the guys over there that were working there. I was like, man, I really don't want those guys to cut my chain for me. And there's all these signs that say, do not attempt to use by yourself. Do not use chain. And I was like, ah, fuck it. I could do this, right? So I figured it out, and it was actually pretty satisfying. And I cut the chain, and I was really proud of myself. And then I go up to the counter, and the lady goes, where's the chain tag? And I go, I don't know what that is. And she goes, you didn't cut this yourself, did you? And I was like, yes, ma'am. I didn't see anyone. And she goes, hold on. She hits a button. She's like, can I get chains up front? Or some whatever the fucking – section of Home Depot is, and the guy has to come over and he has to take the chain from him, and he's like, cut the chain yourself, huh? Come on. And we had to go back and measure it, and he had to write out a tag and take me all the way back over. And the whole time, lady was just like, looked like I was the biggest piece of shit on the planet.
They have the same policy with the big ladders.
Do they?
I can already tell you. I was at the top of the big ladder, and boy, did I get yelled at.
And it has signs all over. Yeah. Don't, your customer, you're not capable of using a ladder.
Don't use the ladder.
I read an article a couple months ago about this guy, an inventor, who invented like a new kind of saw that was like apparently super safe. And it was used for cutting large pieces of wood. And he was trying to sell them to Home Depot, saying, listen, you can really cut down on accidents with your employees. You know, it's really hard to hurt yourself with this saw. So they ordered like two or three as a test. Then they told him the test was unsuccessful and they didn't want to buy anymore. And essentially, they just stole his idea and made their own version of that saw and installed it in every Home Depot across the country.
Did he sue him?
He sued them and won several $1 million.
Good for him.
Good for him.
It was like, what the fuck?
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you come up with a really great idea, you know, a lot of times it's for, you know, I knew a small venture capitalist company that had a very, very great idea, but really you got to sell that sort of technology to Johnson & Johnson. So it's like, how do you go to Johnson & Johnson? sell them the idea and not have them just go, oh, okay, and then just have them steal it from you.
Yeah, apparently Home Depot had to pay him $25 million.
Wow. Wow, good for him. Sucks that he had to, like, do it that way and have to fight in court for it.
Yeah.
And not know if he was going to get it or not.
Yeah, fucking scumbags.
If he had bought, it says that if Home Depot had just bought the devices outright in the first place, it would have only cost him $4 million.
That's usually the case because I just read about the finance minister in Ireland gave the bank $4.2 billion to bail them out, but that day they could have bought the bank for $830 million.
We're in weird times.
It's weird times. But it seems to be – the bailout thing seems to have worked. I mean, in the sense that things are starting to turn back around. The only thing that doesn't seem to be catching up is unemployment. Joel, you're a financial guy. Do you agree with that assessment?
That's very true. I don't know. The thing is, I have to limit myself to what I have to say because I have so much to say about it that I'll bore the hell out of everybody. It'll be like Gus with World of Warcraft.
We'll have to recategorize the podcast as financial podcast. Like maybe we'll get on the top.
Like the Fed approved QE2, more bailout yesterday or whatever, and then the same day they launched QE3, which is the big boat. That's weird.
All reports are that
I have no idea.
Also,
all reports are that TARP was a success. The government has already made back the majority of the money that they loaned out.
You can go back to those podcasts, and I told you, I told you exactly which ones were going to be successful. Like with the car companies, like the government will make money on this.
Oh yeah, they did.
I guarantee you. But that's not the danger. The danger is looking forward and the amount of debt and the amount of real estate that they've taken off the market.
Well, you also have to look at it. A bunch of smart people did a bunch of analysis and determined that had the bailout not taken place, unemployment would be around 16 or 17% right now.
No, that's the thing. I think I agree. I think it was the right move because you had to do it.
Yeah.
You had to do it. But now you got to stop. You can only push that button a certain amount of time.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you want to wean people off of that that bailout money.
You've got to. I mean, look at the dollar is just careening lower.
Yeah.
And then other countries are scrambling to lower the value of their currency. It's like everything is just, I don't know.
Okay, wow. Kids, you can tell your parents to stop listening to the podcast now.
I am so bored by a conversation I helped start.
I know.
So let me go here. When you guys burp, do your ears shut off for a second?
Yes.
So you don't know how loud you burped? Do you ever have that?
Yeah, of course.
Some of my burps do that, but I don't feel like all of my burps do that.
I feel like it's a defense mechanism my head has against my throat.
I feel like the bigger burps I have, my ears don't shut off, so it makes me extra proud.
What does that mean?
If I burp quietly, I feel like my ears turn off, but if I burp really loud, then my ears don't turn off.
Well, maybe you're cutting off the whatever it is. Hmm. Maybe you're over.
Maybe I'm blowing out my defense mechanisms.
Yeah, your
limiter. You know, there's three burps, right? There's the burp that you. There's the burp that you hear. There's the burp that the other person hears, and then the burp in reality is different. So that's a weird thing. What did you think about that?
Well, yeah, this is a way better conversation.
What reality is there besides you and the other people in the room?
Exactly.
Some alternate
reality. Hadron Collider.
Well, the other thing about Home Depot, though, as I have to say, is Jeff had this chain thing. Whenever I'm at a station like the chain cutting station or at the circular saw station, there's a button there that says, push this button for assistance if you need help, you want to cut your window blinds or something. When you push that button, a guy will only push that button one time because you push that button and it announces across the entire store, customer needs help at chain cutting station. And you're sitting there like a dope.
They must know.
The store is making fun of you.
They must know. It's they'll only push it once and they'll never push it again.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, they have a policy at Home Depot where I think they have to walk you to whatever you ask about. I just want to know what aisle has this.
Oh, God. I hate that. It's just where's the the fucking drill bits. Oh, come on, let's go. No, just tell me the number. I can see. Nope. They got to fucking lead you by the hand.
No, it's true. They don't tell you, and it's like you're walking on the way, and you're trying to get the information out of them. Yeah. Is it near 7?
It's like they started an escort mission in World of Warcraft.
Oh, dude. I have another embarrassing Home Depot story if you'd like to hear it. Also at the Home Depot by our house, guys.
Go for it.
You know how you go to a place enough, and if you own a house, you go to Home Depot a lot, unfortunately, and you start to recognize the employees because you see them around all the time, right?
Right.
Well, there was this one dude who I would see all the time at Home Depot. So I went up to him, this was a couple months ago, and I said, hey, you work here, right? And the guy goes, no, I don't work here. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, I'm pretty sure I don't work here. Why would you think I work here? And I was like, oh, I see you here all the time. And the guy goes, why would you be seeing me? Why would you remember me? And I was like, I really don't know. I'm sorry. I thought you – Every time I come into Home Depot, you're here. And he's like, how did you notice that? And I'm like, I just thought you were an employee. I recognize the cashier, too. And it was very awkward, and I just kind of backed away.
Did he always wear an orange shirt?
I thought the guy was going to attack me.
Was he always wearing, like, orange? I mean, why would you think that someone
worked
there?
I swear to God, every time I'd ever been to the Home Depot, I saw that guy. And I'm like, that guy must work here. It fucking sucked.
He probably was like a
fed. He probably thought I was coming on to him or something, and I was like, no. And he's like, why are you remembering me? And I'm like, I don't know, sir.
Why would he get so defensive?
A stalker.
He was creeped out by it, but he is there all the time, in my defense.
Home Depot is one of those places now, too, that has those, and I see them everywhere. They have those self-checkout stations for, you don't get a cashier, or you get the one cashier for every four customers who are royally screwing up. I don't know how I feel about that, those things.
See, the thing that annoys me about that is Home Depot in particular will only have the self-checkout lines open and no regular checkout lines open.
That's true.
Unless you go all the way down to the end to, like, the contractor checkout.
Well, that's like a lot of places now. They have if they have self-checkout, there's five of those open and there's one regular one open.
Yeah, and if I feel like there are maybe three people in Austin who know how to use the self-checkout line efficiently.
Oh, God.
Everyone else is there like, what's it? What? What do I scan? I don't know what to hit. They're like swiping their credit card before they even start scanning anything.
And one of them's always out of order.
Well, the thing is like sometimes, or a lot of the times, you enter into that situation where the dude in front of you, you're like, how freaking incompetent is the dude in front of me? This is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And then you get up there and you realize, oh, the 7 on the keypad doesn't work. You know? Now you're that dude, and you see the dude behind you looking at you, and now you're that guy.
I feel like I run into that a lot, though, at self-checkouts and ATMs. It's like self-checkout, ATM, it's like the two things you deal with all the time. And in particular, I know what Joel's laughing at. I fucking hate at Best Buy when they have to walk you through how to use the credit card terminal.
It's like a game.
Yeah, it's like I always try to use it faster than they can tell me how to use it. It's like, is the information okay there? Hit correct. I'm like, swipe your card, sign the thing.
You know where those things break down, right? Grocery stores. Because if you're the kind of person like I am who buys alcohol with every single purchase,
exactly,
then it ends up taking way longer because then they have to hold. Make sure you're old enough, and then somebody has to walk over very boredly and check your ID and go, buying more wine today, huh? And they're like, yes.
don't spill this on any gift certificates.
Yeah.
Gift cards.
They're like, you were just here yesterday buying wine. If you buy six at a time, you get a discount. And I'm like, why do you remember me?
why do you know this?
I did that yesterday. I bought six bottles of wine.
There you go.
20% off. And
good for you.
Stop.
What a weird thing to bulk purchase for people. It's like, why not cigarettes too? It's like, if you buy a carton, we'll give you a massive discount on it.
You do? Don't you get a discount if you buy a carton?
Yeah, but that's from the manufacturer. That's not from the store encouraging you to buy more.
And that's pretty universal around like every grocery store, at least in Texas. If you buy six bottles of wine, you get 20% off.
Yeah, I guess. And some grocery stores even have like that little cardboard six pack for the wine bottles that you can like put whatever wine bottles you want.
They gave me a bag. They gave me a bag made of material, and I got to keep the bag. And then now I look at this empty bag.
It makes you want to refill it, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's a marketing tool. It's brilliant.
Everything okay? Why are you buying six bottles of wine? What's going on?
Nothing wrong with that.
Are you having a party that you're not telling us about?
I have a secret party.
Yeah, there you go.
So was I the only one? I know we missed this last week. Was I the only one who noticed that Cataclysm has a release date finally?
December 6th?
December 7th.
7th.
A date that'll live in infamy.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, did you see WoW just hit 12 million subscribers?
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's crazy.
So what about the Taliban thing? Huh? Right? EA no longer has a Taliban in the game?
Before we get too far away, can I tell a quick story about ATM?
Sure. Do it.
This is the closest I've ever – well, I'll explain the effort. But I was one time – I was at 7-Eleven. Remember the one right by campus, the one that was on Guadalupe?
Yes.
So I was at the 7-Eleven. It's that – 7-Eleven had that room where you go to use the ATM?
Yes.
Which is like the mugging room it always feels like.
Right,
I think it's where video games
No escaping. You can't escape. It's like closed off.
And I was waiting behind a guy who I walked up. He's sitting there just staring at the ATM machine. You always see those people with that blank look at the checkout, self-checkout or the ATM. And he's just looking at it and looking at it. And I finally go, are you using the ATM? And he goes, sorry. Didn't see you. No, go ahead. So I go up and I put my card in. It says, please insert card. So it sucks in my ATM card, makes a click noise, and then it says, please insert card. And so I hit cancel. And I go, this thing ate my card. And the guy goes, it did the same thing to me. I'm like, son of a bitch, why wouldn't you fucking warn me? It's like, the closest I've ever come to knocking out a perfect stranger.
What the fuck?
Isn't that like a common scan where, scam where people will put a card reader in there or whatever, and it will steal your...
No, it's a scanner on top of the scanner, so that when you swipe your card, it reads it. And then there's always too, a little camera that
Watches your PIN
being punched in, too. So they say you should cover with your hand while you do your PIN.
Or just look for cameras.
Or it's like a little pinhole. I mean, you can't tell a camera these days.
Yeah. You know, I feel like you could see the extra reader on top of the original reader. I feel like – I know there are some that look pretty good, but most of them that I see online are pretty obvious.
But for those people who appear to be using the ATM for the first time, you know, they're always in line in front of you, they probably would have no chance of noticing.
Yeah, well, fuck them. I'm only concerned about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing as, like, worse as your card getting chewed up and spit out. I mean, that is...
That's like a week of your life gone.
Yeah.
Tracking that thing down and getting a new one.
One time when we went to E3, I think it was the first E3 we went to as... Well, maybe it was back in 04 or so. Like, the day I was going to the airport to get on the plane and leave. I stopped at the ATM on Riverside to get some cash. You know, got my cash, got in my car, started driving to the airport. And I was like, I left my fucking card at the ATM. Ooh. I went back. It was gone. I was like, I'm about to get on a fucking plane and fly halfway across the country, and I just lost my fucking debit card. So I had to call the bank, and they were like, oh, yeah, most likely the ATM just ate it. When the card sits there for more than a minute, yep, it'll just suck it in.
That beeping noise it makes if you leave it. Now, if you left it on – one time I walked up to an ATM. It is one where you just swipe. You don't leave your card in it. And the guy in front of me walked away. I walk up to the ATM and says, would you like another transaction, yes or no? So it's like I have access to this guy's bank account if I want to, and I call the guy back. But I wonder how many times that's happened to people where – they just walk away from an ATM not realizing.
I always wait for like that splash screen to come back up. I feel like I have to wait like an extra 5 seconds. I'm just staring. It's like, okay, it's done.
It's like when you draw the line on your check so people can't fill in other numbers, right?
Yeah.
You don't trust anybody. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt now. Back to Medal of Honor.
Oh, fuck. What were you asking, Joel?
I heard that there's ATM machines in Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And apparently, no, like the Taliban was taken out, right?
Man.
The last minute?
I'm mad about that. I beat that game. Just beat that game already. And
are we allowed to talk about?
Yeah, it came out this week.
It
comes out this week. And, you know, sometimes we get games in early, so for Achievement Hunter. And I beat that game. And the thing that's frustrating to me is they had the Taliban in, and I thought EA had a really good explanation for why you could play as the Taliban in multiplayer, and they were essentially, in every game of Cowboys and Indians, there's a good guy, the cowboy, typically, and bad guy, the Indians. When you're playing World War II, somebody has to be the Nazis, right? There has to be a bad guy.
I don't like the characterization.
With this.
I don't like the characterization of Indians as bad guys, but I'll follow. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm thinking,
know they're the bad guys because they're the ones that open the casinos.
Yeah, like, if I can put it in perspective for you, like, Americans versus Mexicans. Right, somebody has to be the Mexican. Nobody wants to be, right? The military, in their infinite wisdom, decided to ban the game on all AFIs, military installations, which is like the mall in the army or in the military. It's called AFIs. It's
interesting.
I don't remember what it stands for. Something exchange. That's where you can go buy like DVD players for really cheap and shit. It's like a Target for the army.
Like PX.
It's the PX. That's what it is. Public exchange. And EA buckled under the pressure and decided to pull the Taliban out. They basically renamed them to Opposing Force. And so the military said, hey, we appreciate that. You were still not going to carry your game. And I played the game. And that game is a 5-hour blowjob to the United States military. It is so pro-American that I was ready to get like a pickup truck and put an American flag in the back of it and join the army all over again. It's like I hate the fucking Taliban. Like I didn't like them before. Now I hate them. Dude, until you're in Medal of Honor fighting – I also understand why Afghanistan is so hard to fight in and the Russians lost. It's fucking terrible in those mountains, dude. It's cold and it's bitter and there's no line of sight.
It's cold.
And there's a dude with a fucking RPG behind every rock in the entire country. It's terrible.
So
it's fucking terrible.
You understand Rambo 3 a lot more?
I do. Man, I hate the Taliban. And that game is so pro-American. Even at the end, like after you beat the game, there's like a they wrote like a novel of thanks to the armed forces where it's like, you know, this game is dedicated to every single person who's ever, you know, served in the military, blah, blah, blah.
That game was dedicated to you.
It was. I felt it. It was good. And I just like, if anybody in the army, in the higher up, had played that game or experienced it, they would buy a free copy for every single person who's ever served in the military.
You know what? I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's such a pro-American game, and it's fun because of that, too. You get so caught up in it. And the story, by the way, the single-player story, is, I think, way better than Modern Warfare 2.
I
hear the multiplayer experience is not as immersive.
I wanted to play it before. Now I really want to play it.
Well, why wouldn't it be pro-American? It's made by a company who compares Indians to Nazis. So did EA really make the statement about cowboys and Indians and Americans and
did
Nazis?
They?
Yeah, somebody from EA did.
Probably... Yeah, maybe not the best semantical
So
I understand that's not politically correct.
Sell EA.
And I agree.
I can't wait to hear the apology.
They made that comment weeks ago.
Yeah, I feel like there was some controversy about that, but I don't feel like it was as big as I thought. I feel like it was blown out of proportion, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, the people who were complaining about it were complaining very loudly, but I don't feel like there were too many people complaining about it.
The people that were complaining, too, were complaining because they don't want to put this in kids' hands. This was, like, concerned mothers and stuff. And they did a study and determined that the average age of a person who plays Medal of Honor is, like, 35.
Well,
right.
Also,
right.
Medal of Honor is a rated M for mature game, yeah. Which means you have to be 17 and above to buy it anyway.
Right. So you can't...
What world do you live in?
Hey, I'm just saying, the ESRB, they do a good job of policing that.
They do.
If a parent buys it and gives it to their kid, then the responsibility is on them. The kid's not going to go into the store and buy the game.
On a rare occasion.
I have gotten carded buying games still.
And there's got to be a balance. And I think that, you know, they're doing everything they can do within reason.
Yeah. I don't believe all those average age studies. I don't.
You don't?
I don't believe that. I think there's some crazy math going on there. Like, I think there's enough ages above 25.
Do you think it's a marketing thing?
Well, if you average ages, like, it depends on how they do it. So the average age of the person, are they weighting it by the number of people? Or it's like 17-year-olds play it and 80-year-olds play it, so the average age is 45.
Well, in the end, you know, it's like it's probably in your interest to serve the demographic of people that have money.
Yeah, well, I mean, disposable income is something else.
So, though. I mean, even if it's not, you know, that's certainly how you want to have it perceived.
Or you could be like the Drunk Tank podcast and sort of a demographic of 95% of people live at home unmarried.
Yep. In basements. That should be one of the questions. Do you live above ground or below ground?
Are you a slee stack? Check yes or no.
Or do you live under a bridge?
When you look out a window, do you have to look up to the window?
Are there bars on the window?
Do you see other people's feet through your window? How did that become a thing, like, that people live in the basement? I've never met anybody who lived in a basement.
I think it was all Laverne and Shirley, right?
Was it?
Yeah, they lived in the basement, and that was always
we
like...
We knew someone who lived in the basement from back in Drunk Gamers on the forum. There was someone who lived in a basement.
Is that true?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of basements in Austin, right?
Not in Texas.
There's not a lot of basements. So, I mean, if you're in Texas, you got a basement, you're committed. So
that's a weird thing, yeah. In Texas, there's really no basements at all.
If you're really nerdy, you got to be really industrious as well. You don't build your own basement.
You don't really have a basement. You have an area under your house that has a door.
How do you define a basement?
It's walled in.
Got to be surrounded by
area
like,
under a house
like
with
four
a door.
Got to be surrounded by four walls or three walls. Right?
Like, is it a room down there?
Yeah, I got a room down there with a washer and a dryer in it.
I would define a basement
as... The clarification I would make is you have a dirt floor. Down there, don't
oh, you? I have two.
You have a dirt floor?
Well, half of my house is a dirt floor. It's like a crawl space. And the other half is where the laundry room
is.
Is
that a
you
dirt live floor, in like though, a, or is that?
No, it's concrete.
Oh, okay.
Does all concrete connect to the dirt floor?
I think this means you have to
no, it's like
a
it's a, like
killer.
My basement is like a self-contained thing. It's like a room under the house. It's like finished out like any other room.
But it's a concrete floor. I say it's a basement.
Yeah.
I also think a basement.
It floods when it rains.
That makes it a basement. Yeah. Yeah, I would go there in a tornado. But I would say a basement would qualify. A house with a basement has a staircase inside the house that leads to the basement. That makes sense? Like, you access the basement from within the house.
Or through, like, those doors that open up next to the house and you go down.
Do you have those doors? Like, cellar doors?
No, I don't have cellar
You have a
doors.
Cellar. You don't have a basement.
Well, how can I have a cellar without cellar doors?
You can tell that this group of people have been hanging around like city inspectors too much.
The
lately,
MLS
you know?
Categorized my house as having a basement when I bought it. So.
Okay. That's that owner description.
Talk shit
though.
About my basement. How dare you.
Your basement's very nice, Jeff.
I should have made fun of Jeff for thinking that the internet basement dweller is based on Laverne and Shirley somehow.
No, I'm just saying that's the first time I ever remember seeing somebody live below ground where you see like the feet walking by. It's on like the intro to the show every week. Not that I watch it still.
How long do you think Laverne and Shirley ran?
Four or five years.
I'd say like 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Well, it depends if you count the Cagney and Lacey as simply the second part. Strike that from the.
Was Laverne and Shirley part of Mary Tyler Moore? Weren't they based in Minneapolis as well?
I don't know.
Laverne and Shirley were in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Milwaukee, that's what it is. Is Milwaukee?
Remember they worked in the Schlitz factory.
There was a spinoff to
Happy Days.
Because
they were Fonzie's friends, right?
Yeah.
That's right. That is right.
See, and Fonzie lived in a garage.
I think something spun.
Behind the Cunningham.
I think something spun off of Laverne and Shirley too, though.
Jesus, I just looked it up. Laverne and Shirley ran for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Does it
I guess I saw it in syndication. Must have known it went longer than 100 episodes.
I think there was like a Lenny and Squiggy show after Laverne and Shirley.
I think there was.
Yeah. Lenny and Squiggy.
There was a Lenny and Squiggy show.
Was. I wonder what the longest string of spinoffs is, where like Happy Days spins off Laverne and Shirley.
It's going to be
and
Cheers.
Joni Loves Chachi.
No, I think it
Cheers. Laverne and Shirley spins off.
I mean the longest? I think the thing with the most spinoffs was...
it'd be like the most connected string
I think
of spinoffs.
All in the Family. Because the Jeffersons came off that and a bunch of stuff came off Jeffersons.
Really?
Yeah, that could
yeah.
be.
Jeffersons were a spinoff of All in the Family.
And what was a spinoff of that?
Oh, I don't know.
I think the longest running was Cheers and Frasier.
Yeah.
Right, I'm not talking about like two together.
I'm talking about the most, like a show
that spun off another show that spun off a show that something like.
For our international viewers who might not be familiar with American television, we have what are called spinoffs, where you have a popular show. It used to be more popular when there was only three or four television networks, but you get a popular show and they would take some of the characters in the show and literally give them their own show. Like they did that with Friends and Joey.
Yeah, people outside of America all know Friends, right? It's like the most popular show in the world outside of America.
Right.
And Friends spun off a terrible show called Joey, which lasted two seasons.
You know, a lot of in the last decade, a lot of very popular American TV is based on British TV.
That's true.
Idol, Friends was based on coupling, The Office,
Three's Crowd was based off of British.
Well, I mean, is America's Got Talent also based on like Britain's Got Talent? That seems like a British
show.
Yeah.
And that's just a direct port.
The X Factor is based off The X Factor.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see, Jeff, you were a fairly big American Idol fan back in the day, right?
Sure, man. I'm all about it.
Did you guys ever see World Idol when they got all the winners from the pop idol contests around the world and had him in a big contest?
Yeah, didn't that, like, ugly Irish dude win?
I think he's a Norwegian dude.
Maybe that was it.
And his name is Kurt Nielsen, I think.
He was good.
Dude, he can sing Bono like you would not believe.
Better than Bono.
Probably better than Bono. It's amazing. It's amazing. While you guys, I'm going to look it up on YouTube so we can play it.
I think the guy also didn't speak English, right?
He's a plumber. Well, that's what I learned on World Idol, that apparently when you sing... You don't sing with an accent. Nobody has an accent when they sing, and I didn't
know
that.
Like elongate vowels or whatever?
I have no idea. It's a weird phenomenon that I wasn't. I have no musical training whatsoever, so I never knew that. So you're talking about playing Medal of Honor?
Yeah.
I was going through my compare games the other day because I was seeing if you were still trying to catch up to me on completed games and seeing how Mass Effect has DLC and now Left 4 Dead has DLC.
And suddenly you don't have nearly as many completed games.
No, I don't. But I think they fixed that where if you don't download the DLC, it still counts it as a completed game for you.
It's true.
So that's cool.
I read in the new update that's coming out, like the new update, I don't know what to call it, the NXXXE or whatever.
To one, essentially?
Yeah, they're going to have... the one thing that annoys me about the dashboard right now is it shows you your first your completed games, but it only shows you the top 12, and you don't have the ability to drill down and see all of them.
What is top 12?
The most 12 recent.
Most recent.
They're going to fix that so that you can have a more immersive experience where you can go in and like look at all the games that you've
played. Well, like I say, for a guy who's like run the podcast for over a year now, Gus set our microphones up on a table that is essentially like a drum.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you did that.
I haven't had time to do anything in my office.
It also doesn't have a 1 square inch of flat space on it. It's like super bowed.
I think I stole that table from Monty. I think he had a bunch of bottles on it, and I took it.
Yeah, the thing about this place is we need more surfaces. I went out and bought a bunch of little folding tables, and we need to get you a better table here, Gus.
Yeah, it's a temporary solution. We're going to build something out.
So I was looking at the compare games, and I was noticing all the games that I have not played. First of all, you talked about Kinect. Are you going to buy Kinect?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting it for me.
Are you going to buy Kinect?
I don't know.
On the fence, I don't know.
It's got achievements. Also, I'm going to buy a Windows 7 phone, even though I have an iPhone, and I'm not going to use it as a phone. I'm just going to use it to play games.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I'm going to buy Kinect. I'm not going to buy a Windows phone because I don't want another thing in my pockets. That's a big thing with me. If I can find a way to get rid of my car keys, I'm this close to getting rid of my car keys. I'll be so happy. I'll just have a phone and a credit card, and that's it. Okay, here's all the games that I haven't played because I was looking at games that are upcoming, and I thought, oh, I should play Dead Rising 2 because I haven't. I've missed the following games. I missed Dead Space. I missed Rainbow Six Vegas. I missed Gears of War 2. Never even loaded Gears of War 2.
Fantastic game.
Really?
Oh, it's great. I loved it.
It seems like a lot of people who played Gears of War 1 felt like there was a drop-off. But
I didn't play Gears of War 1.
Ah.
I loved 2.
Mm. I played Gears of War 1.
Yeah, I played Gears of War as 1 as well, but it had that big gap in the plot line in the middle of it that made no sense to me.
Oh, I still couldn't tell you what... I played both of them. I couldn't tell you what they're about, but they're fun to play multiplayer in.
It's also weird, too, that now Gears of War 2, I keep reading, they're going to have 31 times experience. Like, you know how Halo has double XP weekends?
Oh, are they really?
They have 31 times XP.
This is what's, like, happening with the Fed.
When is that happening?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like XP bailout.
XP inflation.
When is that happening? Because I need that.
It's around October 31st. Oh, that's why they're doing
thank
it.
God.
The Chinese have their XP controlled.
Because it's almost impossible to get to level 100 in that game to get that achievement. So
China is buying
the government manipulation of XP.
They do. It's true.
They're buying up their XP debt. That shows a broken system. If you go to 31 times XP,
yeah.
I mean, that's essentially like, you know, if you found a way to cheat and grind.
It's silly.
Like you did in Halo for your splash damage achievement. Okay, I didn't play Bioshock 2, and I want to play Bioshock Infinite. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
you could probably skip Bioshock 2.
I never played Splinter Cell. The new one.
That was really good.
That was a good game.
Never played Alan Wake. Never played Crackdown 2. I played the hell out of Crackdown. Never even loaded Crackdown 2.
Same game.
Haven't played Dead Rising 2 yet, which is amazing because that's my all-time favorite game.
We haven't
game.
Even talked about Dead Rising 2 yet on this podcast. It's been out for a couple
weeks.
That's
your all-time? Well, it's probably your second all-time favorite game.
Well, it's probably actually now. It's Halo, then the Left 4 Dead series, and then Dead Rising. But Dead Rising is such a unique game, especially for a launch title. It was a great game.
It wasn't a launch title. It came out 8 months after the Xbox.
But it was original. Original when it came out. You know, it was great. But any game where it's like there's monsters and no matter where you are in the game, there's one behind you.
I wouldn't say it's original.
There's one behind
I
you.
I was George Romero might.
There's one behind
George Romero
you.
Would definitely hit
you.
For a video game.
But real quick, let me finish my list. I haven't played Metal Gear yet. I haven't played Mafia 2. Haven't played Assassin's Creed 2. Haven't played Just Cause 2. Haven't played Resident Evil 5. Those are all games that I played the hell out of in previous
So you're versions. Not a gamer.
I guess not anymore. I guess it can't be. There's too many damn games now.
Like, I have not even played any of the Mass Effect 2 DLC, and I loved Mass Effect 2. That's one of my favorite games, I think.
You know something funny?
I thought statistically there was going to be less games in 2010 than there were in 2009, but companies were dumping more money into big franchises. But,
I'm the opposite, Gus. I haven't beat Mass Effect 2 yet. Like, I still haven't completed it. I'm at the part where everybody gets kidnapped or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I've
You're
played.
Right at the end.
I've played every DLC.
Did you?
I think
you,
I have all the DLC achievements.
Did you finish Mass Effect 2?
Yeah, several times. Dead Rising 2 is phenomenal. You should really pick that one up, Bernie.
I guess that's what I'll do next.
Did you play the first one?
Yeah.
Is it much better than the first one?
I think it's
one?
Much better than the first one.
Really?
Yeah. I think they fixed a lot of the annoyances I had with the first one. The only problem with Dead Rising 2 is the fucking loading screens. You get loading screens constantly. It's the worst.
I hear multiplayer's pretty borked.
I haven't played any multiplayer.
Dead Rising was that way, the first one.
Single player.
You go through a door and you get a loading screen.
It's bad. Installing to the hard drive seems to help a bit, but it's still really, really terribly slow.
I'm going to let you know you're never going to play any of those games because even if you wanted to, you're getting further and further behind. Medal of Honor's out this week. Next week, Fallout New Vegas comes out. Next week after that, Fable 3. Next week after that, Call of Duty.
Is it Fable 3 time already?
Next week after that, Assassin's Creed. Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, new James Bond game. Endless.
Wow.
I can't believe that I haven't played Civ 5 yet. I have played the hell out of every Civilization game ever made.
Me too.
And I played
every Civ game since the very first one, and I played the crap out of all of them. And it's not even on my radar.
Is there a Mac port?
Nope.
They're about to make one.
Okay.
I read the other day that it's coming to Mac very soon.
That's kind of the one thing, though. I mean, Civ is kind of the same game.
Yeah, but it's a good game.
Dude, no kidding. I've been playing. Gus turned me on to Civ Rev for the iPhone.
Yeah.
So much fun.
The new one is supposed to be completely different, too.
Oh, yeah?
Like the way they did the movement, they went to a hexagon pattern like some of the Catan games.
Yeah.
So, and you can only have one unit per tile, so you have to choose what to send to fight people. It's interesting.
Hey, I have a question. You know, Left 4 Dead just came out for the Mac, right?
Right.
Yeah, right.
And Steam has that new Steam integration with the PlayStation Network that's coming out.
Yeah.
Do you guys think Left 4 Dead could become a PlayStation game at some point then? Like, would they eventually port Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 to the PS3?
Oh, well, I'm sure. Why not? I mean, it depends. Maybe the next, you know, iteration of the franchise will have it. But I think Gabe Newell has essentially completely reversed his position on the PS3. Brandon harps on that all the time. Because Gabe Newell was one of the first guys like,
he was very outspoken.
I won't develop for the PS3, paraphrasing here, but you know, he would bash it constantly and then suddenly was on stage talking about how wonderful the PS3 is. So
I can tell you from an achievement hunter standpoint, that's so awesome for me. Like when Gay Tony finally came out for the PS3, my views on Gay Tony doubled. It was like a second life for all of the videos that I did.
Because
there was a whole new generation of gamers
looking
for those walkthroughs.
Why would someone not want to develop for The PS.
Supposedly the PS3 is hard to develop
very
for.
The architecture is very difficult.
Yes, yeah, so it was hard to develop for, and it didn't use industry adopted standards.
Huh.
Which created a longer lead time on development.
Yeah.
I also think that the PS3 is that we like a lot of American games. Like even the Japanese titles we like, for instance, Capcom, Dead Rising 2, that's made by a Canadian developer now, right?
Yeah,
Blue Castle. Yeah.
Does it feel less Japanese?
No.
As a result?
No, I don't think so.
Dude, it's exactly like Dead Rising.
It's exactly. The only thing that's different I can think of is they removed the photography mechanic.
Which is a huge Japanese thing. Like taking the pictures of the zombies and taking pictures.
I can see that.
Yeah. Oh, one thing about that game, there's no like indestructible weapons from what I can tell in Dead Rising.
Yeah, you
2.
Really can't book up weapons. I felt like that was broken though. You shouldn't have been able to do that.
It was
that.
Broken.
Yeah.
In the first
Dead
Rising.
Well, they definitely fixed it.
In the first Dead Rising, you could get like a chainsaw from this clown, and then you get these books that made your. If you carried a certain kind of magazine, it would make your weapons last longer. And you could essentially get this awesome chainsaw that would last the entire game. Which in Dead Rising, a big thing is that if you use a weapon long enough, it breaks and you have to go find a new one.
Yeah. They still have that. They still
have books.
The weapon customization is awesome, too. Like being able to combine whatever you want and use different weapons. It's just kind of goofy. Like my favorite, my favorite is the flaming boxing gloves.
Oh, really?
You pour motor oil on boxing gloves, and you're, like, punching zombies, and they're catching fire. You can, like, pick them up and, like, punch them in the face.
Some of the stuff I played, Case Zero, which was the arcade prequel to Dead Rising 2, like the Dead Rising 1.5,
It's like
I guess.
A demo prequel. Mm-hmm.
It was a demo prequel of a sequel.
Yeah.
So it wasn't before Dead Rising. It was – I guess maybe it could have been timeline-wise. But anyway – and some of the weapons in there were kind of silly that you would build. Like, you could get a drill and a bucket, and you would make a bucket with a bunch of drills in it, and you could put it on a zombie's head. It was the most inefficient weapon you could ever possibly imagine.
You'd have to wait for it to finish killing and drilling the zombie, then it falls off, and you pick it up and go put it on another one.
Or you can make the air horn, which you can use to blow up a zombie's head, but you have to be directly in front of them and pull it down for, like, 10 seconds before it works. Yeah, pretty silly.
It's always a case like that, too, is that, in games like that, you find the one weapon that's much better than anything else. Like, in Dead Rising, it was the blue chainsaw.
Yeah.
And in the Case Zero, I haven't played the full game, but in Case Zero, it was just the baseball bat with nails, which is the first one you got.
With nails, it's very handy throughout the entire game. I don't think there's ever a moment I ever played Dead Rising 2 where I didn't have at least two of those in my inventory.
Yeah.
But the best weapon is the knife gloves, the boxing gloves with Bowie knives on them.
Really?
Yeah. It's fast. You get a lot of experience for it.
Oh, that's good. If it's a fast weapon, that's what you want.
I mean, and with Dead Rising 2, I mean, isn't it, like, with the first one, isn't sort of the clock always ticking against you?
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a cool game mechanic where you play for 72 hours, and then you just restart, and you maintain your character over and over
again.
Which is
cool.
Yeah,
I like that. Do they still have, like, that achievement where, like, if you play the game for 3 days or whatever?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
There's something else. There's another game mode in it,
that's
though.
A cool
achievement.
What is that game mode?
Anything
overtime?
That brings in
survival
no.
overtime in the first one. Survival
yeah,
mode?
No, it's like I guess it's the sports one.
Oh, the Terror is Reality.
Terror is Reality. Like there's some stuff
that's
tied
the
to
multiplayer.
That. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do I think?
Yeah,
I
really
that. Such a cool achievement.
Dove into it.
Anything that like taxes you in reality, like the character that you're playing on the same on a 1-to-1 basis, that's cool.
Man, you're just not gonna let this fucking achievement go, are you?
I don't mean it like that.
Let's talk about this all.
I don't mean it like
that. Do you know the history of this?
Let's do
I know the history.
We haven't talked about
not,
it in
I'm
three
not,
or four
I'm
podcasts.
Not
so I can go through that.
I'm not.
Shitstorm again.
Why haven't you gotten it? Just out of curiosity, why haven't you got the achievement?
You see this list of games you got going on here?
Oh.
I got that. I got to do that, too.
That's 2010 for you, 2009. This goes back to 2007.
They're very busy with Achievement Hunter. Okay. Very, very busy.
Yeah, I was playing Modern Warfare the other day, and I was thinking about the achievement race that we had back then, which essentially, I mean, Modern Warfare is, I guess you could say, the thing that kind of, the game that started Achievement Hunter in a way, because that fun race that we did in the Mile High Club thing that we did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We should probably explain what we did.
I fucked myself in that, too, because I gave Bernie a key
piece
of information
he
didn't know.
That last challenge, I would have killed myself had I gone through that whole game. And then the last achievement is, guess what? It's not possible. I mean, it was just, that was hard, dude.
What we're talking about here is Jeff
and
I.
That was just back when, well, go ahead.
What was it, 2007?
Well, I mean, like, we've entered an age.
Joel's
not going
to let us go ahead.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. We've entered an age now where it's like, if you run into trouble on a video game, you go to someone who has already solved the problem for you.
Right.
Online. That wasn't always the case.
Well, wasn't the case before me.
What we did was Jeff and I, Modern Warfare was coming out. The first one, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yes.
And so everybody knew it was going to be a popular game already. And Jeff figured out that all the achievements were single-player achievements.
Which we love.
And we had talked for a long time about having a race, an achievement race. Who can get all the achievements in one game the fastest? And so Jeff and I, we got it. We did it over a weekend, right?
We did it over a weekend.
We started on Friday. Like, we waited. It wasn't launch day, but we waited until Friday. And we said, okay, go at noon. And we both raced through the game as fast as we could, which meant mainly finishing the game on veteran and collecting a certain amount of things.
TVs.
30 little Intel things.
And there was a couple other ones.
Oh, yeah, Intel.
And that got you to 980 points. And that, I mean, that we were going and marking each other's progress. Jeff went offline to hide his progress and kind of, like, you know, subvert his own work.
I got to 980 before you did, but you blew me away on the fucking...
You say blew you away because 980 took us to a thing called the Mile High Club, which was a bonus level that you had to beat on veteran to get the last achievement. That was essentially the entire race.
It took me like 500 tries.
It was endless. It was over and over and over again. I probably did it at least 250, 300 times.
And
at least.
What was the achievement? It was to go through that last airplane level.
On veteran
and, like, free the hostage, essentially. But did you have to do it in a certain amount of time?
You could do it a minute and a half, I think.
Was it a minute and a half? That might have been at 90 seconds.
Yeah. You had to run through the bottom floor of an airplane, kill about 25, 30 guys, then go upstairs and kill about 15 more, and then shoot a hostage taker in the head behind the hostage.
And it's 60 seconds or left.
60 seconds.
60 seconds. Sorry.
And it's
I can't believe I forgot that. I did so many times.
It's rough because there's a lot of patterns you learn, and there are sometimes when you play it, if a pattern pops up, you know you can't do it. So you got to wait for the right pattern. And
if you sound like fucking King of Kong.
You have to rely. You have to rely on AI to do a lot of the killing for you, which is tough. Terrifying.
That's the one thing I don't like about video game scenarios sometimes, when you have to do something over and over again to the point where you now – it's no longer a game. You now understand the mechanics of everything that's going on around you, and it's a 0-1 proposition where it's like, okay, either I got this one or that one. Oh, this is impossible. You know, it's just when you break a game down to that level, the game's lost because that's not a game anymore.
I should break that out today and see if I could do that run again today. I bet I could.
I remember it, yeah.
I can tell you turn for turn and person for person running through that thing. Dude, where everybody is.
I can see it in my head right now.
It's horrible.
I know when to throw the flashbangs.
Did you go left or right on the first? Remember, like,
go left. You go left into the room.
The conference room.
Yeah, the conference room.
And then what do you do?
Then you shoot the guy in the head with the silencer.
Well, then you flashbang. When you're running through the conference room, yeah, you shoot the guy.
You throw a flashbang over his head, then shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
The flashbang goes over his head into the first row of seats.
Right.
Where there's, like, six dudes.
Yeah, six dudes. There's two on the left, two on the right, and then two guys by the doors.
Right.
You run through them, knife one or two if they get in your way, because sometimes they'll trip you up, like you can't walk over them. But they're on the ground, like, going, because they can't see. Then if you threw that, you hit the wall on the right side, at least I did.
And there's a hallway with two entries.
Yeah, you're pretty good there. Then the next room is the room where the fucking explosion is.
The next row of seats is decompression thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to get through that.
There's a wall, like, on your right that you can hide.
I didn't even go through it nearly as many times, but I went through it a lot, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where it gets tricky is when you have to go up the stairs. Do you go up the left or the right?
Yeah.
That's the tough part.
And what is it, left or right?
I went right.
And you're sprinting that entire time.
Did you go left or right?
I went right.
You remember?
If I go up the stairs and go, absolutely. I go upstairs and go right. Then when you get up, you go upstairs and you turn around and come back up. It's one of those staircases with, like, landing.
Yeah.
You come back around. Then you look up, and just as you crest the top and see the over the top of the top stair, you throw a flashbang into the room, come up, shoot all the guys, then run into the room where you shoot through the flashbang. There might be a dude right there on the right, or there might be a dude on the left. That's kind of random.
Cocksuckers.
Yeah. And then you stab one of them and try to run past the other guy before he recovers enough to shoot you. Then three dudes come running down the hallway. And you shoot them, and then turn left, turn right, there's the doors, and you're there.
What's funny is, as you all were describing this, I was watching a YouTube walkthrough of it here, and you still know it.
Yeah, no, dude, I'll remember it on my deathbed. But, and the thing about it is, like, when Bernie was saying, like, especially upstairs where you stab one guy and let the other guy go, and then you run down the long hall, your AI has to kill that guy, because he will turn around and kill you. So you have to, like, go fast, but not so fast that you're too far ahead of the AI that's helping you. It's fucking tough, dude.
Yeah, you can't leave your teammates behind.
God damn.
Yep.
It's fucking
tough.
And
I even remember that like, 3-second cinematic where they're cutting through the hatch at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I had to listen to that 1,000 times.
And then by the time you're in that room, you're out of flashbangs, like you've done your last flashbang, and there's flashbangs on the table, and it's like, right. Do you take the time to get the other flashbang for the end of the long hallway, or do you...
I did. I would take that.
I did, too.
It's a good achievement. I mean, it's definitely like... It harkens back to the old days
that was a good,
video games. So you said nowadays, and I saw a cartoon on Reddit about this, where the classic arcade games, like people who played Nintendo era, you didn't have the internet.
It's so weird because you'd hear it somehow from a friend of a friend. It's like, where did it come from? You know, it was all word of mouth. You know?
But even if you knew it, it was like you had to the way they showed this was they showed the panel was a classic game. It's like, well, I've played this game for about 80 hours, and I'm almost to the point where I can make it through with my three lives through 10 levels and make it to the second to last level. And said, and here's today's gamer. It's like, man, I've been on this same room for 5 minutes. I got to get on the internet and find a cheat
answer.
Or how come I don't have a checkpoint? What a shitty game, you know? When I mean, even a checkpoint, you didn't have those in the Nintendo
fucking,
thing.
Play fucking Ghouls and Goblins.
But you know what?
One checkpoint halfway through the level, and that's it.
I'll tell you, though, checkpoints, yes. I don't care. You know, checkpoints, yes. Checkpoints are a good thing. I don't care. I don't want to repeat crap.
That's how you play Call of Duty. You play for checkpoints.
Yeah, and I'm fine. That's good.
The interesting thing about Call of Duty on Veteran is that you get your checkpoints are awarded by time. Like, so if you go fast enough, you can get a checkpoint. If you don't, there is no checkpoint.
Oh, interesting.
Which is the key to beating the last level in Modern Warfare, actually. And Modern Warfare 1. And that's I like that mechanic. Because you're rewarded for playing quickly and fast. Because nobody tells you. There's nobody to know. You have to figure it out on your own.
You know what I think you should do? I think you guys, having done this, and I did this weekend, you guys should do another achievement race for beating Halo Reach on Legendary Solo. Because there's an achievement associated with that.
Yeah.
And that will destroy you.
I haven't even started.
I'm about halfway through.
I hear people talking about it. It's like, oh, well, I get upset with them.
It's called the Monument to All Your Sins.
Yeah.
And good Lord, was that hard.
You beat that, though, and you get 270 points because there's two achievements tied up with being an elite.
It doesn't matter. What matters is that I have that achievement. I can lord that over anybody.
You do?
Oh, I got it this last weekend.
Dude, I haven't played.
How long did it take you?
I had a sick kid, so he was like, you want to watch me play Halo Reach for,
Dead,
you know?
Dead Rising 2 has kind of derailed my progress with that, but I'm going to get back to it hopefully tonight.
How far have you gotten?
I've gotten up to where you, after you fly the spaceship and you have to land under the cruiser and kill the communication crew.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. Fair enough.
So you have to drop in and yeah, like essentially the assembly multiplayer.
I've been trying to drop in for about 50 tries now, and I cannot drop in successfully.
Right.
So.
And then you have to go fight all the way to the bridge. When you get to the bridge and all your AI are dead, there
have been some very frustrating parts in that game so far, and this is it's tough. It's really, really tough.
Bungie was very cool and did a very cool thing where they put our names as troops that you can be assigned in Halo Reach, like the little guys who add into your squad.
Yeah.
So there was a couple times where you guys were actually in my squad. You fucking suck. You guys both died right away.
It was almost like a real co-op experience
because you guys were dead immediately.
Were you screaming like a little girl? Because that's a real co-op experience.
Yeah.
Ah, there's a Covenant!
Get it off me! There's a fucking plasma grenade at your feet! Just fucking move! The hardest one for me, I have to say, out of the whole thing, and I'm sure everyone who's done this, you know, all five of us in the world, hopefully, because that was hard. But the hardest part for me was there's that level Exodus, where it's the one where you're going to the city after you – spoilers on Reach, by the way. After you land back on the planet, after you're pushed out of the space station or out of the spaceship. There's this thing there at the end where you have to activate those two buttons, and then you have to go up to the building and turn on that last one, hit that last button. First two buttons were a breeze. Getting from that last button into the building took me probably an hour and a half straight to move about 50 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just relentless.
Let me ask you this. In general, what is a harder gameplay mode across the board, Veteran in a Call of Duty game or Legendary in a Halo game?
I always just go to the hardest levels.
So what's harder, the hardest? Which one's harder to beat on the hardest level?
The hardest level on Modern Warfare, I didn't play Modern Warfare 2. I guess I did play on Veteran.
You had a tough time on that one where you have to clear the house out and then run down to the helicopter. You had to run down the hill to the helicopter.
Yeah.
And you guys
run across the rooftops, you mean?
No. Modern Warfare 2.
That was a glitch, though. Mine was glitched. I just restarted it, and I beat it in like a minute after that. And that was really weird. Every time I got to the point where I was supposed to get the cutscene, there would be an explosion. I would die. Mm. And I was thinking, what am I doing wrong? And finally, I just said, forget it. I killed my checkpoint and restarted. But I wouldn't say Modern Warfare 2 is that hard.
I agree. Modern Warfare 1.
Yes, Modern Warfare 1 was harder than 2.
There was a Ferris wheel level on Modern Warfare.
But you know what? That was a blast.
No, it wasn't.
God, that was so hard.
It took me 3 hours to beat that level.
I wrote a journal about that one.
I love levels where it's a super hard level, but you get to at least have the time where you control the beginning of it, where it's like, okay, I have some planning, where this is where you set out the charges and you set out where you control the space to some extent.
But in the beginning, yeah, when you're doing those run-throughs and you have those levels where you do 5 minutes of setup and then you just get killed by the – like you miss this one shot and so that, that one guy kills you. So you got to do the setup over and over
again. That was the one – that was the one experience. I've had only a handful of experiences where I just got killed over and over and over again. Didn't mind it. Had a blast.
So,
and that's one of them.
Are you saying that the Ferris wheel level in Modern Warfare was the hardest level in Modern Warfare to complete?
Yeah, obviously that was – of the veteran levels, that was definitely one of the hardest levels I've ever played. I mean, Mile High Club wasn't part of the campaign.
Right.
But, I mean, there was stuff on Legendary where I was like, this can't – I was like – I literally said it at some points. I know this can't be done. I know I can't beat a room of five zealot elites with an engineer giving them extra shields. I just – it can't physically be done. It cannot happen.
And, like I said, I'm not all the way done yet, but the part where you have to cover June as he's like setting up the – it's on Nightfall. As he's setting up the explosive on the cloaking shield.
Oh, yeah.
And the dropship comes and drops elites and two hunters. I about put my controller through the TV. It was like just the permutations. It's like, what cover am I going to run to and run to? What order do I have to kill everyone in? You know, what weapons do I have to pick up because I'm running out of ammo constantly?
I can say with the utmost confidence, I now know why the Halo Reach console comes with two controllers. You will need that second controller when you smash the first one into oblivion.
What do you think was the hardest level to complete on Legendary in Reach?
It was Exodus for me. Exodus? It was the very, very last checkpoint. On Exodus. And I'm sure there's some people who like did it in 4 seconds, you know, because they had the right weapons. If you don't like
that's what I find the most frustrating is that when you're in a scenario and you're like, well, I don't have the right weapons, I'm kind of screwed here. And it's just like, then it's like, do I go back and blah blah blah?
You just play the whole level again to you know, understand what I'm about to get into.
Yeah,
yeah, they really do a good job of making you pick and choose. And then on some of those levels, you're just scrounging for anything you can find to complete.
I felt like all the time it was like, I don't have enough ammo. I don't have enough weaponry. You know,
I don't know. I also was dumb too, where I like got, I had at one point I had a fuel rod cannon that I think had, which is the alien equivalent of a rocket launcher essentially. And I think it had 28 rounds in it. I thought this is my trump card. And I kept that thing forever. It didn't matter. I should have just abandoned it for a plasma pistol at any point in time. A plasma pistol and DMR or that needle rifle. Mm-hmm. That's the way to go on Legendary.
Anything ranged. I hate the assault rifle. I don't want to get up close. I want to stick to the DMR and pistols and needle rifle. Anything from range where I can hide behind cover.
DMR is a tremendous weapon. Absolutely fantastic.
You look like you're going to blow up.
I'm going to blow up because there's something I hate in Halo Reach. I mean, there's something that if I ever see this in real life, which is impossible, it's a fictional game, I will punch it in the face. But I won't be able to because I won't be able to hit it. I don't know if everyone else has this problem. What the fuck happened with Jackals between Halo 3 and Halo Reach? I cannot kill Jackals to save my life.
Are you talking about Jackals or the Skirmishers?
No, dude. I'm talking about straight up little dopey birdie Jackals.
I've noticed I have a lot more trouble with Jackals now than I used to.
I hate them. I would rather face an elite than like three Jackals. I mean, they are impossible. I save my grenades just to kill Jackals.
I have a lot harder time hitting that little weak spot that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it takes more shots to take them down as well.
They're more. They move around a lot more too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They do. Yeah.
Everything moves. It also, like on Legendary, you have the thing where anytime you have like the DMR or something that's a scoped weapon, where you're like zoomed in and you like shooting an elite in the head, it takes like 10 shots of the DMR to take his shields off, and you get that pop and his shield comes off, and then instantly something taps you and it takes away your zoom.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like they have the timing on that.
Yep.
So perfect, and you just want to like tear your hair out when that happens, and then the elite just like ducks behind a rock, and you're just like, you're in agony knowing you've got to do all that again. But seriously, I mean, I don't know what they did with the Jackals on Reach, or what the, it's a prequel, so what did the Jackals lose? But, I mean, Jackals were my nemesis on Legendary. They are so hard to take down. And they're almost like a step up from a grunt, right? So they throw like five or six at you at a time.
I feel like every time I interfaced with those guys, and I haven't gotten very deep into Legendary, but it's like I've wound up running up, punching them.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that on Legendary, because if you come out from cover, it's just like...
You take two steps and you're dead.
Like in Exodus, the level I'm talking about, all you have to do, you don't have to kill anything. All you have to do is touch a button, and the level's over. But it's just, it is impossible to wade through
that. I found myself doing a couple of end arounds where it's just like, okay, I'm just going to pass this up, especially in the early level.
But in this case, you can't. You have to get to the button.
You have to get to the button, yeah.
Well, you could do it on the Club Arera level where you have to fight four hunters in that one club.
Oh, yeah.
You just book it, you know?
Yeah.
Why does anybody fight those hunters? I don't get that. Like, I was doing the campaign the first weekly challenge to beat it on heroic, and I was doing a co-op with a bunch of people, and I was back at the Falcon going, let's take off, and the guys are like, they're like, why aren't you helping with the hunters? I'm like, why the fuck are you, why would you waste your time with those hunters? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, even on Legendary, you can bolt right by them.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do.
I actually thought about, on Legendary, trying to initiate that little party.
How tough is it? Oh, yeah, you could do that to circumvent that. How tough is it to get through? I have things that I haven't played on Legendary yet. I mean, I played the level where you have to, I think it's I don't remember the name of the level, but it's the one where you have to get the tank to survive.
Yeah.
Through Legendary. I did that achievement.
Going back into Sword Base?
Yeah, going back into Sword Base. That's the only thing I've touched in Legendary. But when I think about stuff that would be really hard, the part that Gus is stuck at seems like it would be impossible. But also the part early on in...
it's
shaking his head.
Yeah.
The part early on that Club Herrera level where you have to go into the hospital and go all the way to the back and get the shield generator or whatever, and you have that one long hallway that's full of brutes.
Yeah, it's a hospital level.
Yeah, the hospital
where
level.
You go down that circular
You go down the spiral, and then that seems like it would be like next to impossible.
There's a it's when you're coming back. Brutes have a thing where they don't have shields, so you can use the needler and just waylay brutes. The mm-hmm. needle rifle and the needler are just – I mean, they just tear brutes up. When you're coming back, though, you have all those jumping jetpack elites.
Yeah.
And that's just
– I hate those.
All it is checkpoints your friend.
Okay.
And yeah. That medic bubble shield, that does nothing in Legendary. I mean, you have to be behind a corner. It's just a healing unit that you have to hide to use because you can definitely not pop that bubble shield and hope for any
Those are the things that annoy me the most with the jetpack. Even in multiplayer when you're playing against people and they have jetpacks, fucking hate them.
I'd rather fight a dozen of those than one jackal.
How about a jetpack jackal?
Those guys also Dude, suck. It's a horror story. Those jackals are so terrible on Legendary. I can't believe how hard it is to fight those things. They're nothing in any of the other Halo games. They're fodder. And they're just – I see one. I'm like, oh, no, a jackal. I have no grenades. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Hologram would be great if Hologram was present more often. Because if you get those stupid jackals to turn around, then you could be in business. But
yeah, they're really good with their shields.
Another question, too, and it's just because I played so much Halo Reach this weekend that I have all these questions.
Sounds like you guys are really attacking the single player more than multiplayer. But
yeah, oh, yeah, I played, I think, 130 Reach games, which I was surprised to see because I don't feel like I played a lot of multiplayer. Flash, one of our buddies, has played 850 games so far.
What rank is he?
I want to say he's Lieutenant Colonel.
Really?
I want to say
he's up there. He's up there.
Yeah. And, I know somebody else we know has 1,000 points. I can't remember who it is.
Every single time I've logged into Reach, he's on.
Yeah.
Every time. There's not a single time I haven't logged in where he's not logged in.
I think I played 2,500 total games of Halo 2, and that was ridiculous. And that was over 2 or 3 years.
Damn it.
He's played 800 games in, what, a week? A week and a half?
2 weeks.
2 weeks,
yeah.
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy. He even posted a tweet that was like, I don't get a chance to do this very often, but I'm going to relax Friday. And it was a picture of Halo Reach and, like, a bottle of booze. And I was like, how the fuck do you not have – you are obviously playing Halo Reach 24 hours a day.
I think it meant he doesn't drink very often.
Ah, that must be it.
You didn't even see that part of it. That's just normal Friday night for you. Drinking at the house.
Normal Wednesday
I don't even know what his rank is. What is that picture? I'm looking on Bungie.net. It's like...
I also feel like, Joel, that there's rewards...
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Grade 3.
There's rewards for playing campaign, ongoing. Like, you continue to get credits and you continue to rank your multiplayer.
That's a good point.
Yeah, one of today's daily challenges...
It should be that way.
...is to beat, to kill 50 elites in campaign.
It's a daily challenge?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm just trying to think where you do that.
Yeah, they've had that one before, haven't they?
I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I've gotten that one. I got that one on – it's funny, where I am now in the Legendary campaign. When you're playing Legendary and you have to die and restart constantly, you end up killing 150 elites pretty quick.
Yeah?
I think I did it on the long – I think I did it just on the Long Night of Solace level.
Right, because checkpoints, it just keeps your tally going.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
That's what I did. I just kept going up and down the beach.
That makes sense. Yeah. You can do the last level. There's 5 right there. You just run that room 10 times and you're done.
I'm way behind. I'll never catch up, probably.
What do you mean, in terms of rank?
Yeah, I don't know that I will ever complete the Legendary.
Well, you're terrible at Halo.
Well, I'm terrible at Halo.
The nice thing about ranking up in Reach is like, I could never make General in Halo 3 because I'm not that good. Like, I would never
it's
be
It's not
going to
happen.
It's not going to happen. But you can totally do it in Reach because you can do it in Campaign. You can do it in Firefight. You've got whatever avenue works best for you. I play a ton of Firefight. I really like Firefight matchmaking.
Reach is a perfect game.
Yes. Yeah.
They figured everything out. It's almost like they just knew there's nothing else we can add into this.
I mean, to date, it is the best game I've ever played.
But it's like you can just see like all the little pieces that they had from all the different games finally coming together. Yeah. And mm-hmm. they've ditched stuff that didn't matter. Like there's no dual wielding in Reach that, you know, people didn't identify with, and I'm sure there's other things I can't even think of that, you know, weren't a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, some things are still there, you know, that like scoring is still there, but it's not as prominent as it was in Halo 3 because it wasn't that important.
Like you said, it's just a tweaking. Dual wielding's gone. Even the equipment changed, you know, to where its armor ability is just like a more refined system.
Right. Yeah. You think that the logic there is that maybe the Master Chief has access to all the equipment at any point in time whenever he wants to use it, and he doesn't have to, like, choose which one he wants?
Like he doesn't... Yeah, I guess. But how different is that, though?
I mean, the equipment system is theoretically supposed to be better.
Yeah,
I mean,
like armor abilities you can change on the fly in campaign. You just have to find them.
Oh, that's true. I guess and
just,
then they have...
Yeah, just like in...
It's one of those things.
Yeah, who knows?
The war was very taxing on the economy. But let me ask you this, since I played so much Reach. One more thing. When you guys play Halo, do you guys find it's much, much, much harder to kill something from behind than when you're facing it? Like when you're shooting at it. I know hitting it
yeah.
is instant death.
Yeah.
Like if a grunt is running away, it takes about 5-6 shots to kill a grunt. Well, where if it's facing you, it's one shot.
Grunts in particular, it's hard to see their head from behind.
Right.
I feel like they have like a collar piece right. or a mm-hmm. piece of armor right. or like something, some plate on the back. So it's right. harder. You only have like a little section like on the top of their skull.
Like a turtle.
And in the front, you've got like their entire face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely, but with Gretz in particular,
that's
the worst.
True when someone's shooting at you in multiplayer. It's like it takes more shots if you're running away from someone hitting you in behind.
I don't know about that.
Well, a headshot? Yeah, definitely.
On a Spartan?
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with Joel on that.
Yeah.
You think so? I don't know.
I was just playing multiplayer a little while ago, and I was chasing a dude through...
And I do a lot of running away.
The new Ivory Tower. And I must have put like 30 needle rounds into him in the back of the head, and he just kept trucking. But I can kill a dude with, like, 3 in the head from the front.
I am a little confused about that one part in the storyline where you exit the Covenant ship, and then, like, the next cutscene, you're just on the planet.
Yeah. You fell to Earth.
Yeah, I guess you can do that if you're just a noble...
I actually noticed...
Doesn't Master Chief do that at the beginning of Halo 3?
But he's Master Chief.
If you actually look at... There's a cutscene at the beginning of that, and I noticed this the first time I played through... If you look at Noble Six in a cutscene, he actually has a pack on that's called a re-entry pack.
Well, it's very prominent. I felt it was almost spoilerish when I saw that the first time on my first playthrough because he kind of turns and puts it like directly in the camera.
Okay, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I thought they telegraphed it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's weird. I guess I'm going to have to re-enter, you know? I'm going to jump to the planet.
They definitely show it. It must be a space thing that they have a re-entry pack.
And then I think at one point, like, Noble Five even mentions that there's only one re-entry pack.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, in the level right before he pushes you out.
Oh yeah, you're right.
When he says that the trigger on the bomb is fucked up.
That's right. Still, I feel like I've wanted to see something. I don't
know. No, I get that. I get that. You wanted to see it happen, but supposedly Spartans can jump in from space and they can land.
They're like extra special ODSTs. They don't need the whole pod. They just need the backpack.
Yeah.
They lock their gel layer.
I mean, that's a pretty impressive technology. Really.
I think it's all pretty impressive, dude.
I mean, you think that would be their best form of attack, would just be like creating some sort of just put a jetpack on the back of the guy and do the gel lock and just run over everybody. Right? I mean, who can stop that?
Like
right? I mean, if you can impact upon the planet.
Spartan bowling, essentially.
I mean, right.
It sounds like a new game type you can make and Reach.
There you go.
Spartan bowling.
You know, did you guys read about the this is back to real life now. Did you read about the meteor that is coming dangerously close to Earth today?
I heard about that.
Mayan calendar?
They found it, Jeff. They found it at the beginning of October. That's when they found this meteor.
That's
60,000 kilometers within Earth's orbit, right? Is that right?
So are we going to die today?
It's 12 meters across. So it's cool that they can find things that are 12 meters across.
That's not going to kill us.
No, they basically said it would burn up if it hit the atmosphere.
What's that,
it would burn up.
12 meters is about 45 feet, is that
about
right?
About 36 feet. 40 feet, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't kill us.
It could fuck some shit up, though.
It could fuck some shit up.
If it landed on you, it'd kill you.
Knowing my odds, that's probably exactly what's going to happen now.
If it had a jackal shield, it would kill me.
Didn't someone... I may be totally talking out of my ass here, but I feel like... Wasn't there a story a couple years ago about someone who was like taking a nap on their couch and they got hit by a meteor and survived? It was like it came through. It like had, I guess, decelerated enough going through their attic and their second story, and it like hit them in their couch, and they're like, "Oh, that really hurt," but they survived and they had this meteor that hit
them. Thank God they put on that second floor.
Maybe the meteor had the jail.
Maybe they're in their cellar or basement. I do seem to remember that as well. Did he get hit in the hand or something with it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, are you guys excited?
It wasn't the same guy from the Hadron Collider.
Yeah, it was some woman in 1954. A meteorite struck her.
Yeah, I feel like every...
That is crazy, the probability of that, Gus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I think it's made up. Just the
I'm sure.
The probability of that.
I mean, there's a lot of meteorites that hit the planet every day. I mean, small ones. I mean,
not true.
Hundreds of them.
Not even close to
All right, look it up.
It hit her in the hip. It was November 30th, 1954, and it was a woman in Alabama. Her name was Ann Hewlett.
Oh, Miss Hewlett. Yeah, I know her.
No, but and NASA has confirmed it.
What part of Alabama is she from?
Silicauga?
I don't know where that is.
Yep,
Silicauga. That was the Silicon Valley of Alabama.
Does anybody know what Alabama fell to in the polls? I haven't had the heart to look.
No, I haven't looked.
Jeff's team Alabama lost.
But as a Texas fan, I'm not aware of that anymore because I literally can't acknowledge college football after last week. God. But I did say when we first started the podcast 2 years ago, I said, Rangers, they're going. And I was a year early, but although they might be eliminated tonight.
Yeah, series
is tied up 2-2. So whoever wins tonight is going to meet the Yankees in the ALCS.
So whoever wins tonight is going to lose to the Yankees.
I'd much rather lose to Tampa Bay. I mean, if the Rangers go to the ALCS,
wouldn't you rather
lose
beat the Yankees?
To the Yankees? I'd love to. I'm a Ranger fan, Gus. Let's not get crazy.
I have a special message from YouTube for Jeff.
Here's a little message to Alabama fans. Yes, and you're done. You guys fucking lost. You lose. So sorry. You lose. God, I'm sick and fucking tired of hearing Saban is our hero. Saban is our hero. You fucking lost to South Carolina. You fucking faggots.
Jesus.
Well,
I see that guy's face.
That guy is fucking
somebody
fired
is, someone's obviously an Auburn fan.
If you're a college football fan, how have you not felt that way at some point during, right?
That
dude,
way?
Dude, when Texas beat USC, dude, I lived in Southern California 10 years getting beat on USC fans. Oh.
That is an angry young man,
dude,
right
that
there.
That kid needs therapy.
Yeah, that's pretty out there.
He's a pretty angry guy.
Who is he? Who's he a fan of?
Who knows? Who cares? We're gonna research this guy's.
He's
life.
Like the German kid who got angry at the video game.
Good lord!
Somebody translated that. It was pretty interesting. The kid couldn't wait for it to load. Man,
that's is that what it was?
So how could the kid? Would the kid tape himself doing that?
He couldn't wait for it to load.
Yeah, the game wouldn't load. I think he's trying to play Counter Strike. And
oh, there you go.
And he's thinking, why won't it load? Load, you stupid level. No. And then he went to get disconnected from a server and then reconnect. And he's screaming.
Hey, are you guys excited about the biggest media event of the year happening Friday?
I'm so excited. It's going to
be the best thing ever.
What is it? I don't even know.
What are you talking about?
You guys don't know? Fucking Jackass 3D comes out Friday.
Dude, I'm so excited.
It's going to be the best day of the year.
I got to shoot that somewhere.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. We're all going to go. Go with us.
I don't want to go somewhere crowded. We're going to go Draft House?
We're going to go Gold Class, I think.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You can't go to Gold Class to watch that movie.
You absolutely can. They have booze and food.
Joel makes a good point, though. Gold Class is a very nice upscale theater here in Austin where they have about 40 seats total in the place.
Yeah.
And there's these big recliners.
I went there with a raucous crowd.
I went there this weekend, and I literally saw an overweight 55-something gray-haired gentleman making fun of, the servers because they're servers. That sucks.
Wait a minute, tell me that. So you're talking about the waiters, essentially.
He was belittling the waiters?
Yeah, there was some over... It was the worst thing I'd ever seen. There was, some overweight, old, pompous, douchebag guy and brought his, 7-year-old son there. And while the server is serving this douchebag 7-year-old little kid, he's like... And I guess they had been talking about getting a job or something like that. And he goes, see, that's why you want to get a job. You don't want to be a server the rest of your life. And it was like, are you
in front of the servers?
I was like, are you being serious? Did you just say that?
How much spit was in his food?
Dude, that guy deserved a knuckle sandwich.
Yeah, that's – I was embarrassed. I felt bad to be sitting in the theater.
If no one does that job, you don't get food or drinks at a fucking theater. What a fucking dickhead.
Fucking arrogant. I hate that stuff, especially to have,
How can you not value something that you're going out of your way to enjoy, too? I mean, he's going to that theater for that service.
For that experience.
And then he looks down on it. What a fucking asshole.
He would be the first guy in the world if his fucking chicken sandwich turned up 10 minutes late to be raising hell, probably. You know?
And what really made it the most offensive is there was no, like, consciousness of what had just happened to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he just wasn't even...
He didn't acknowledge it.
I don't think he was even aware of it.
And the way they serve there, like, the waiter kind of has to lean over you to reach this table that's between your two seats.
Plus, it's also, like you said, a room with, like, 40 people at most. So it's a very, very small, intimate
affair.
Plus,
he's training that kid to be a dickhead.
That's a play. They play a trailer. They play a trailer at that place that's, like, for a golf club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the beginning of every movie, it's like a golf club.
It's also $30 a ticket. And for reference, most tickets are $10, $7.
Back to the point. Is this where you want to see Jackass?
That's a good point.
Yep.
People are going, oh.
There is something to be seen. Like, when we saw...
their monocles pop out of their eyes. They're so shocked. I'm like, what is this?
When we saw Jackass 1, Bernie, it was at... I think you were there. We saw it at Westlake. And it was at, like, 2 in the afternoon on a Friday. And it was a full theater of, like... kids from high school, and that was like the best experience ever because it was just 2 hours of people laughing constantly,
right?
You know, and being in the middle of like 300 people laughing at once is awesome. It definitely heightens the experience.
And then we saw Jackass 2 at the Alamo,
which was great.
And we were cackling like maniacs, but I don't feel like anyone around us was really like. I mean, Jeff and I, we go to this thing, we're like two gay guys at the Tony Awards. We're just
pretty
like,
much
we're on cloud nine, dude.
It's bigger to me than any video game.
It really is. This is our Oscars. It's Jackass.
Nice.
They need to make a Jackass video game.
I like it so much that I couldn't listen to Howard Stern yesterday because Johnny Knoxville was on and they kept giving spoilers. And it doesn't seem like a movie that you wouldn't want to be spoiled. But trust me, dude, some of the stuff they're saying, you're like, oh, fuck, why do I have to know about that now? I know about it going in. I had to turn the radio off all day yesterday because I couldn't – because, like, somebody would say the word dildo and follow it up with something else that's hilarious. And you're like, fuck, I'm not going to spoil it for you guys.
There was a Jackass video game.
There was, yeah.
Yeah, for PSP, right?
PS2 and PSP.
Do you think it sucks? Probably.
No, I can tell you a little bit about that because it was made by a New Zealand developer named Sidhe. Which is SIDHE.
Right.
We actually met them when we went down there for ArmageddonCon 1 year because they had specifically put in a machinima mode in it where you could where you can make movies with – and the guys could talk. Like you could make Steve-O talk.
And the Jackass guys had no input or nothing to do with it and didn't get any residuals from it too,
from
right?
The game period.
From the game period, yeah.
Weird.
Well, it's MTV, dude. You sign if you sign anything in the MTV building, watch out. Yeah, because they will take – I mean – I think these guys are still making these movies because they never made any money from the TV show. That's what I think.
You know what's funny? They were talking about money with Johnny Knoxville yesterday, the part I did hear. You know, he recently got divorced, and his wife gets – or he got divorced like in 2009. His wife gets half of everything he makes on Jackass in perpetuity.
You mean if he makes other movies?
Yeah, like she gets half of his money from Jackass 3D.
I've stood in for that guy twice. Oh, I stood in for him 2 movies.
Yeah.
One was Dukes of Hazzard, right?
So you should get something.
Somehow I should get something.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Like he made –
he's a good guy.
He seems like a good guy. He made $5 million for what was that movie he was in?
The pretend. What was the one?
It was a big movie. He got $5 million to be in it.
Men in Black 2?
Maybe. Now it was a movie he had a bigger role in. I can't remember. The movie you stood in for him.
Oh, Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard. He got $5 million for that and had to give $2.5 million to his ex-wife. She gets specifically anything from Dukes of Hazzard and Jackass for some reason. Those are the two properties she gets half
of. Well, they were divorced after Dukes of Hazzard, so that makes sense.
Yeah. But, like, going forward, if he does, like, another Dukes of Hazzard movie, supposedly he has to give her half of that as well. It's not everything he does. It's just certain properties.
Divorce laws are one thing, and it's, you know, community property, and, you know, you can make the argument she was home and allowing him to go off and have his career. But there is – specifically, I think, sports guys, and he's a very unique guy – people who hurt themselves, knowing he's going out and hurting himself and destroying his body and then handing off that money, that's a little different than...
The dude has had to pee out of a catheter every time he has to go to the bathroom for the last 2 years.
and everyone knows that.
And he's going to have to
public
do it,
information.
And he's going to have to do it for like another 2 years and maybe forever.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Like when you see guys I see guys like Mike Tyson, and this gets away from the divorce thing, but just in general, the people who... are in his organization, who then you know are taking money from him left and right. When it's a musician or something like that, I mean, that's a musician. But like Tyson, who's like just beat his brains out, you know, it's a special kind of tragedy, you know? And it's just sad when you see it happen. Like an NFL star who can't walk.
No kidding, right? Like Earl Campbell. I watched the Tyson documentary, which was actually pretty good if you guys have never seen it. It's on Netflix streaming.
On Netflix, yeah.
And you watch him get stupid throughout the course of his career. Like, he was never seemed like a brilliant dude, but he was coherent and, like, cohesive and could have conversations and seemed to have, like, a point.
Mm-hmm.
And you just watch him get dumber through film clips. It's really sad. Yeah.
And I mean, our boxing career is like usually 18 to 30.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not normal dementia setting in.
Yeah.
It's just getting your brains beat out
like, constantly.
I saw a documentary on Rampage Jackson or whatever, like the UFC guy. Uh-huh. And it's like he understood it. Like you see him jogging around and kids are like, ah, and he's like, don't do what I do. Go study.
Yeah.
Learn. This is terrible.
Don't be a server.
I'm trapped.
He's, you know, trying to peel out and do movies now. Get away from that stuff.
That's true. So if you get, I mean, if you know, you're made in the shade there, right?
Speaking of which, The Rock is in an action movie.
Yeah, how awesome
is
that?
I heard about that.
And he's supposedly it's badass,
too. God, dude.
Tooth Fairy 2. God, I'm so looking forward to it.
Here's the thing. Like, if you're
it's a real...
Rescape to Witch Mountain.
You know, if you're an action star and you're a big action star and you start going down the, oh, I'm a comedy, children, whatever movie route, is it harder to go back and have people? I guess it's okay,
I think that must be the role of becoming a parent, right? I mean, you watched Eddie Murphy do it, where he suddenly wanted to make movies for his kids.
Same curvature.
Like, The Rock must have had some kids, and his kids are like, what'd you do today, Dad? And he's like, well, I can't show you because I ripped somebody's skull off and stuck a grenade in his asshole.
And they get the cute...
So but I can describe it to
when
you.
You're 20, Daddy can show you
his kids are finally old enough to appreciate his movies.
Yeah, well, let's say, like, you know, so he's like, all right, well, I'm going to make the Tooth Fairy so my kid can understand what I do for a living.
Well, I think the prototypical action star is Schwarzenegger. And if you look at him, once he started doing funny stuff,
that was it.
All he could do was go back to stuff that he'd already made, like Terminator.
But
again.
Yeah.
Seemed like it lost something, but who knows?
And even Kindergarten Cop wasn't that bad because he was like a tough guy in a stupid situation.
Right.
And it was still action stuff in it. I think it was more like Twins when he did that.
Yeah.
That's when it got off.
Yeah.
Or when Junior, for Christ's sake, when he was a pregnant guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I never saw Junior.
I don't think I saw it either.
No, I never saw it, yeah.
How do you get that billing together? How do you put Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie with Emma Thompson?
How do you write that out? God.
Maybe with the action stuff, too. It's like maybe you get to the point where you're too old or you're just too tired to maintain that. Like, it must be your entire life is like in the gym just to stay that ripped. And you're probably doing all kinds of terrible steroids for your body and stuff. And then maybe at some point you just like you get beat down and you're like, I can't keep it up.
Yeah. Well,
nobody wants to. I mean, look at Sylvester Stallone. We all love that he's, you know, still going strong with Rambo and the Expendables. But the dude has had a rough looking life.
I'm glad to hear you say that, dude. I can tell you, I'm sick of it. Working out constantly is getting on my
head. And I was thinking of you, actually.
I don't get it, though, because like you were talking about how he was on that interview on Stern. I think we do. I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not, where he's just like, well, I'm just struggling and blah, 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 trying to get made. And
Stallone. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, I mean, don't you have money in the bank at this point? I mean,
well, you know,
like if I have the money that he has.
Yeah, you go say that to anybody else.
I'm
not inflicting people anymore.
But you still want to work, dude.
You make a bunch of money. You have like three ex-wives probably at this point. You've lost a ton of your money. In divorces, and you make a lot of dumb decisions because you're like, I got $5 million this month. I'll make $5 million next month. And then someday the scripts stop coming, and
maybe so.
You're not smart with your cash.
Maybe so.
It sounds like Jeff has done a lot of research into divorce. I'm noticing a trend here.
I've been divorced.
Jeff's been through a divorce in his defense.
Once you go through a divorce, you notice stuff.
Okay, before we get off movies, I want to point something out. We talked about The Town a couple of weeks ago.
And oh,
I'm actually.
You guys saw it?
No, but I thought this was interesting. I saw The Town on the list of movies that's showing at Gold Class when I was trying to buy our tickets.
Uh-huh.
And so I looked it up. Sure enough, I don't know if this is Ben Affleck's first directorial.
It's not.
It's his second. I remember y'all talked about it. The other movie he did was Gone Baby Gone.
Gone Baby Gone.
But The Town, I think, has made, you can look it up, guys, I think it's made about $70 million right about there. This movie has now outgrossed every single Kevin Smith movie ever. Kevin Smith has never had a $70 million movie. In fact,
what was the
that
budget? What was the
doesn't surprise me at all.
But it's interesting, right? Because like, don't you consider Ben Affleck to kind of be in that stable of
Smithites?
Kevin Smith, and then he goes out and directs something, and it makes $70 million.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
No. He elevated past that a long time
ago. He still goes back and does all those movies, though.
Right, but...
Yeah, but, you know, actually,
he's not dependent upon him.
No, not at all, not at all.
But he made fucking Jersey Girl, you know? That was way into
more
his successful career.
The Town may have grossed as much of all of Kevin Smith's movies did combined.
No, not quite, because do you know what the highest grossing Kevin Smith directors? Look, hit the director tab.
I'm looking right here.
You know what the highest grossing Kevin Smith movie directed?
I feel like I should know this. I'm going to say it's...
Was it the...
Chasing Amy?
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
Cop Out.
Oh, not...
Ooh, Cop ow. Out, by I never, the way.
Wow.
What a tremendous how, piece of shit that movie is.
Really?
Have you guys seen it?
No.
It is embarrassingly bad. I had to watch it on a plane. I had to turn it off. I was on a plane coming back from England, coming back from Scotland, so I had like 10 hours on me. I had to watch it in chunks, where I would be like, I'll watch 20 minutes of it this time around. Next time it comes on in the cycle, I was able to stomach another 30 minutes. It was
okay,
fucking
I feel
brutal.
Like I've been on a man on an island for the past 10, 15 years, however long Kevin Smith has been around, and I haven't seen Chasing Amy, and sure. It seems like that might be a good movie.
No.
But of the movies that I've seen him do, are you really being serious? I mean, seriously? Like, this is good?
What are we taking?
Oh.
You don't like Kevin Smith, is what you're saying?
Well, no. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but a lot of the movies that he's made, I don't get it.
Dude, I understand what you're saying. I think his movies are very juvenile.
I mean,
This was bad for a Kevin Smith film. I'll say that. And I think Clerks was an awesome movie. I could still sit down and watch Clerks today.
Clerks was, I thought, the strongest.
I hear Clerks 2 was very good. I never saw it.
Think about Clerks. That was a movie that came out of nowhere. You had low expectations. Yeah. It was an independent thing. Okay, cool. But then what was the other one, Mallrats?
I did not like Mallrats.
But Kevin Smith is a director. Like, you start naming directors in America,
right.
You're going to get to Kevin Smith pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get to Ben Affleck that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even like Spike Lee, you'll get to Spike Lee.
Right.
And Kevin Smith is in the same class of director as Spike Lee. He has a very specific audience, people that live and die with his stuff. You couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, he's had a longer career than 99.9% of all directors that have ever directed anything.
And it doesn't matter.
Was 16 years ago.
It doesn't matter what Kevin Smith directs because he has – you're right. He's got that instilled audience that's always going to go and watch and support his stuff and buy the shit out of that guy's merchandise. Say what you will about that dude. He is a merchandising genius.
It's so funny because there are Hollywood directors out there that are good directors and no one knows their name. Like they direct a lot of movies. There's a guy, Johnny, who did – I can't remember his name, but he does a lot of
– What's the name of the movie he did?
Didn't he do The Alamo? He just did the Walt Disney movie with the Secretariat. Just did that movie?
He's working for Walt Disney. What do you care if you know his name?
No, but it's just funny to me that it's just like there's a lot of directors out there, especially TV directors, certainly legitimate people who know what they're doing. No one knows who they are.
But if they're working, who cares? I mean,
it's just funny like how some people have a name and are held up, you know, and I guess it's just because someone like Kevin Smith is a very distinctive flavor.
Well, he got famous in an interesting way too. I mean, he made his own film. He did the Robert Rodriguez thing,
right?
And like,
but it seems like,
and broke into the industry in a cool way. He didn't break into it doing like made for TV movies and slowly building his way up.
That's true.
And doing studio films.
That's true.
You know, you mentioned that Secretariat movie. I don't know if y'all have seen this, but they've been playing a lot of like TV commercials for it. And I guess you know, I guess I kind of know what the movie's about, but there's this one scene in the trailer where they like cut to a guy who I guess is the bad guy in the movie. He looks at the camera and says, "Secretariat's going down." It's like, really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of dialogue in this movie.
You also got to give Kevin Smith credit because he made himself a personality, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, he gave himself a good character, put it in that first movie,
absolutely.
And then he probably spends about as much time on developing his films as he does his brand of him, you know?
Like his clone.
Yeah, I hate when people use the term brand in reference to a person that bugs me. But, I mean, look at Spike Lee. Spike Lee is still, floor seats for the Knicks every damn game. You know, when was the last time you went to see a Spike Lee movie?
I don't even remember the last Spike Lee movie.
I think Inside Man. Which
Inside
was
Man.
Fucking awesome.
Tremendous.
Denzel Washington movie with, who's the.
Clive Owen.
Clive Owen. Dude, great.
Yeah?
Fantastic
you've never seen
movie.
It?
No.
It might be the best Spike Lee movie.
Really?
One of the best heist movies ever made.
Oh. One of the best New York movies where New York is a character.
Yeah.
And the people who live in New York, like it's tremendous.
It seems like any time you have a movie where it's like people stealing money and it's set in New York, it's like New York is not going to let you escape. It seems like that should be the premise of the movie.
It's like the Bill Murray movie,
I think,
right?
The last Spike Lee movie I saw was Summer of Sam.
Summer of Sam.
That movie was not
a long time
good.
Ago.
No, that movie was not good.
Inside Man is. Inside Man.
You
is
never saw Inside Man, Gus?
No.
Oh, so good.
You never saw Inside
sequel.
Man?
I can't believe you never saw Inside Man.
Yeah, it's great. Denzel Washington's great in it. Clive Owen's great in it. And just like all the. And then it's nothing but character actors, I think.
Oh, Jodie Foster's in it, too.
Right, right.
She's
plays
really
like
good.
A minor villain character.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, really very good.
I'm checking out. Is that on Netflix? Is that streaming?
I have no idea. I saw the theater.
Who's the old dude in that? He's a real classic actor. Is it Christopher Plummer?
Josh,
you're going to have to look that up for us.
I don't know.
But listen, the only Kevin Smith movie that I legitimately didn't like was Dogma. I don't have any opinion of Mallrats. I realize people really liked it, but I think I was – because I just like Clerks so much. And Clerks 2 for a sequel
Christopher
that
Plummer.
Came out – thank you, Christopher Plummer. For a movie that came out 10 years or whatever after the original movie, great sequel.
I hear it's good. I hear it's really good.
You didn't see it. Why haven't you seen it?
I really enjoyed it.
I have no idea. I just haven't sat down to do it.
How much did The Town cost to make? Do we know that?
$37 million.
$37 million.
And it's made 70. So that's awesome. Really, mm-hmm. And I got to see because it looks good.
Yeah, I really want to see it.
They say it's a like a free consideration type film.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
is that the buzz?
The critics don't question them.
That's what Variety says.
Don't question them.
All right. Well, we need to wrap up here before we go too long.
Okay. Everyone, go see Jackass 3D.
So Jackass 3D is on the plate this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I might be checking out Inside Man.
You should see it.
Anything else we need to plug?
I would like to plug something that I finally have in my hands after all this time.
Do it.
It's not our thing, but I'm in love with it. I have my black chat pad for my Xbox controller. Joel, look at this. Look how beautiful that is.
Wow.
It's gorgeous.
I got to admit, they're finally selling these things.
You should wear that like a necklace.
They're finally selling these things.
I saw that in the box upstairs when you bought it. I was like, oh, wow. I'm sure this was a happy day for Bernie.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
That's pretty satisfying.
That's it. Other than that, we're still working on our event list for where we're going to be in 2011. Mm-hmm. We finally found a UK convention.
Yeah,
looks promising.
I contacted them. We're talking, so hopefully we'll get that worked out.
And thank you to the Red versus Blue fans who sent that in.
Don't ask them to have a nice day.
Do not ask anyone to have a nice day when we're there.
There you go.
And we haven't talked about any behind-the-scenes stuff, but, I mean, we're bolting out of here to go to production, and pretty much the next... Four days are solid production.
It seems like every week is like 3 or 4 days of solid production right now.
Yeah, we're cranking.
We're cranking.
Pretty hardcore. And then you have your thing, Jeff, which is every single day. So.
Yep.
And now you're going to do your legendary run on Halo to race they race Gus over there.
I got a head start.
He's got a six-level head start.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Ta-ta.
Bye.